Chris Hansen. He's got 22, a new career high.
He'll have to shoot from wide out now. It's in the hands of Worthington.
On the buzzer, Mark Worthington.
He's again.
Knock, who's there? It is another episode of the Has Been Hoops podcast. Chris, it's been over a week, and I know it's been a little bit difficult to try and get each other, but we've held off. We were going to do it the other night, and then we thought we'd wait to see what LJ would do. We've just watched Melbourne versus Illawarra, and I said at the back end of the last podcast I wanted to give LJ her flowers, and I'm glad that we did. I'm so happy that we did. You watched the game. I watched the game. Game three, Melbourne Boomers versus the Flyers. And if there's any doubt in your mind that Lauren Jackson is the best basketball player to ever come out of Australia, she proved it once again in a big-time performance in a big-time game. Go.
You're right. She's incredible. It was one of those games where I was excited to come and watch it, and I got home and I settled in on the couch and she hit the first three of the game and I sort of went, all right, here we go. And I just found myself chuckling to myself the whole game. And you've been around me enough to know that that chuckle's not anything other than, okay, I see what you're doing. She just sees the game at a different level. It sort of reminded me that the only thing that slows us down as athletes is age. And if you can even go close to competing physically, LJ's IQ, her knowledge of the game, this will come out the wrong way. But I said to someone today that I was watching, and I kind of think that that's what our Masters games might look like when we play people who have never played at our level. We know where to go. We know where to be. We know the decisions to make. The game slows down and we can shoot. And that was LJ last night. She knocked down her three. She was on the weak side of the rim every time a teammate took a bad shot for the follow-up. And I was actually I was sitting here watching with a couple of people, and one of them said, before the end of the game and then after the game, it's like she doesn't even seem excited that they've won. I said, that's why she's great, because there wasn't the emotional distraction. There was we've still got more to do, and it probably hurt. You know, what's LJ, 41 now? I think.
She'd be older than 41. I think she's 43.
There you go, 40, incredible. Ironically, I played with D-Mac and we won our last championship and he was 43. I was just chuckling, thinking she knew where to be. She was smarter than everyone who'd been there. Her physical presence, her strength allowed her to hold her position on the floor. She didn't reply, but I sent her a little text just after the game as soon as I finished, just saying, wow. Like 38 and 11 in a game that meant a lot. But the interview after the game was, and as I said to the people in the room, I'm like, she's got more to do. Like, winning a semi-final and playing one good game doesn't mean shit to her. She's been there. She's done that. The only thing that matters to her right now, I think, is winning a championship in front of her boys for her team. She's the greatest.
I'll start off by saying sorry to LJ. She's still 42. She turns 43 in May, so apologies, but she is 42. She's incredible. And the one thing that we spoke about post-game was, why would you let her catch in the first place? Like, the difference between game two to game three was LJ was making quick decisions off the catch and shooting over the top of a smaller defender, and she had that capability. And very reminiscent of a Dave Anderson sort of game where he would just, like, slowly roll over a shoulder and knock down those baseline jumpers. And you can have your hand in their face, but they've done it for so long and been so great at it that they don't see the defender. And that's exactly what LJ was like in that game. She didn't see the defender because she just shot over the top of them every single time. So
same comment in our room is that and you're sitting there talking with WNBL legends and people who've won defensive player of the years and that sort of thing, and they're just sitting there going, she's great, yeah, but do your work early. It's the one thing that so many bigs don't get. Like, as soon as LJ catches a ball, you're dead. But the one thing, as age creeps up on you, if you force them to work to catch it, or at least make them catch it off their spot, it makes it a little bit harder. But the Boomers for the entire game never disallowed a catch. They allowed her to catch it and then went into the scout, you know, the trap and, you know, the various things they did. But it's too late once she's got the ball. She's one of the greatest players in the history of the game. It's too late. The best way you can take out a great is to actually not make it easy for them to catch and to be great. So, no, you're right, but let's not make this about how Bulleen didn't get the scout right or adjust right. Let's make it about LJ. And to do that in a professional competition, one of the best professional competitions in the world, in a game that means something to have that sort of a game, my only hope is as the Flyers get ready to take on Perth in the WNBL Championship Series is that LJ's body feels as good to her as what it did in this game, and we see vintage LJ for three more games.
And we should say kudos to the Lynx for getting over the Townsville Fire as well. But the whole reason we're bringing up this, because in the last podcast we were going to talk about LJ and her unselfishness to play for the Opals to get them to another Olympics, and then say that's it for me.
So, yes, and before we jump off women's basketball, the other person I want to mention, and you mentioned the Opals and we've got the Olympic Games coming up, and this might sound like I'm banging on a drum that I've been doing, but I've spoken to a couple of people who are of the same opinion. I'm not going to name them, but one today. How in the world is Georgia Amor not only not in the Opals extended squad of 24, but in the team going to Paris? So, and I'm thinking this, you mentioned Townsville. What I'll say about Steph Reed is she's the best pure point guard we've got in the WNBL right now. There are a lot of other combo guards. Georgia Amor is on par right now with Jordan Canada, who just won MVP of the league. Which, ironically, we predicted at the start of the year, and let's pat ourselves on the back just for a couple of seconds and getting that one right. Georgia Amor, make no mistake about this, is the best point guard in Australian basketball now and has been for the last 2 years. It's an absolute disgrace that she's not in the squad. It's a disgrace, not an absolute disgrace, that she's not going to Paris to represent our country at the Olympic Games. I'd just love anyone who listens to this to go and watch some of Georgia Amor's highlights in college. I know it's college basketball, but the way she plays, she'll be drafted top five in the WNBA draft next year. And so she should, but Australian basketball hasn't had a local superstar point guard. The last two have had a Christy Harrow and Michelle Timms. We've been crying out for 30 years for another one, and we've got one who's sitting in American shores. She's better than anyone we've got now, and she can't get an invite. So, you know, I'm going to call Georgia. I'm going to get her on this thing because I want to talk to her. I've spoken to her privately. I want to speak to her publicly, and I want to pick that apart, but LJ's the greatest. Basketball Australia doing a gross disservice to the Australian basketball public by not allowing more of us to know about Georgia Amor wearing green and gold.
Well said, mate. We've just come off the back of the NBL Finals being a Melbourne versus Illawarra, and it's needless to say that Illawarra shit the bed in the last 5 minutes of that game.
What is Justin Robinson doing? Who does he think he is? Oh, It was interesting because it was the absolute type of game that, sorry, I interrupted you, but clearly I've been around Melbourne United lots. I love a lot of people in the group. Also Illawarra with what they've done, but we've got Sam Froling coming to the Airs. I've coached him as a junior. So I didn't mind who won. But Illawarra outplayed Melbourne for the most part of this, to the extent where you're thinking, hang on, this is going to game two in Illawarra and Melbourne are in trouble. And then United stepped up the defensive pressure. They came up the floor. And I listened to Justin Robinson's interview after the last playing game. He said, great players are just that there. I think Justin Robinson's mistaken himself for a great player. He's an average player. He's got to be their fourth choice on that team, but he took it upon himself to be their first, and he cost them the game. For me, in the last 5 minutes of that game when they needed the ball in their studs' hands, and we were having a conversation, the advantage Illawarra might have had was that they knew who they're going to. They're going to Froles in the post, and they're going to
Gary Clark
on the wing. And then all of a sudden, and United weren't quite sure. They could go to anyone, but it wasn't a particular person. Then all of a sudden, Justin Robinson wanted to be a hero, and he cost the Illawarra Hawks that game and, in my mind, potentially a championship berth.
You asked me who does he think he is. I would say that he thinks he's Jordan, but I would counter that not Michael Jordan, Jordan Farmer more so. And
so hang on, can we say this?
So we can say whatever we like. This is our podcast. We can say whatever we want, mate. Go ahead.
This is true. Let's get a little bit of a shout out to Trent Love, who is a friend of the show, and he started a Has-Been's dictionary. And we won't go to the others, but Trent, if you're listening, and I think you are, mate, there's a word, delusional, is Justin Robinson. I just don't know what he thought he was. So let's add that to the has-beens. Along, what did we have with Alan Williams? Liability for Alan Williams, who ironically has just been released from the Phoenix when most people thought he was a star.
We'll get to that.
And a couple more. So we'll add delusional to the has-beens dictionary. So, Trent, if you're listening, mate, and you could do that for us, we might even put a little graphic up at some stage soon. But I hope that it doesn't cost. You know what? That's enough on that game.
It has cost them, and it cost them dearly. And there's always a tricky one when you get that much time off for the first and second seed being Melbourne United and the Perth Wildcats. And it took Melbourne a good 35 minutes to get into that game. And where a lot of people are shining a light on Illawarra's offense since Tatum took over, I'd like to credit them for their defense and what they were able to do on the defensive end, because that third quarter, not only did they shoot the ball well, but their rotations were on point. They helped one another. The people that need to lock down were locking down, and they were leaving United to a one-pass offense, leading to a bad shot or something contested at the rim, and then they were running the other way. Illawarra has got the cattle to push this one to a game three, and I think Illawarra will be absolutely rocking. But the role players need to know their role, and Justin Robinson fits into that. Yes,
he's a role player.
He's an X factor, but as your spark off the bench, so to speak, it was minus 16 or 18, I believe, in that game, which they were up 16 points with 7 minutes to go. That is a huge letdown loss for them.
He was minus 16 in 26 minutes.
Hmm.
How about Kyle Adams? 30 seconds of that was interesting.
But, he got an assist.
You know what? Most people will talk about how great Dele played. I thought Luke Travers was fantastic in that game. I couldn't agree
with you more.
He was in the spots he needed to be in. He rebounded the ball great. I just thought That was actually the best game I've seen Luke Travers play in a long, long time. So good on him too.
I think he's been really good since he moved from Perth over to Melbourne United. And I know the challenge for him was he's very much an introvert and he's very much a homebody kid. So him leaving WA and Rockingham in particular was a huge move for him. But I think it's paying all sorts of dividends because this has been his most consistent NBL season that we've seen so far. And he's delivering for a championship caliber team as well. So kudos to him. Mate, I am heading to the game tomorrow. So the Jack Jumpers Wildcats game tomorrow night.
I really wish you were calling it an SEN. We have great drinking games when you call the games on SEN.
Well, I'll be there drinking. Don't worry about that. I just won't be calling the game. But I'm looking forward to it, and I reckon this is – I couldn't believe the chatter that I was hearing out of WA that they were so happy that they didn't have to face the Illawarra Hawks. And I was like, you do realise the team that is walking
you're
in –
you're facing Tasmania.
Tasmania yeah. is the most – they play almost the best playoff-style basketball there is in the NBL because the way that they train, the way that they play all season is a finals atmosphere every time they play. And the big one for me is Will Magne and that matchup with Keanu Pinder. Magne obviously got extended minutes in the win against Illawarra after Marcus Lee went down. But for Perth to... like, you know what Bryce Cotton's going to give you and what he's going to do. Usher is going to be the guy for me. Another one that, if he can play his role well, will be a big reason why the Perth Wildcats can win this series. But it's going to be – I think Tasmania will probably win it.
We had Magne as the best centre in the competition a month or two ago, and we talked about all NBL teams a bunch of podcasts ago, and – Magne was playing 15 minutes a game and having 10 and 5, and you're thinking, shit, imagine when he gets healthy. And it was a little bit like LJ. You know, they've absolutely tapered LJ to be ready for the playoffs, and I think that Tasmania have absolutely tapered Will Magne for the playoffs. I'd be amazed if they don't try to get 30 minutes, 35 minutes out of him in Perth, and they should. And he's a handful. He's playing great basketball. He's finishing at the rim. He's the best rim protector in the league right now. And add that, you know, to the import combination, to the Aussie, you know, that Aussie battler, the point-to-prove group that the Tasmania Jack Jumpers have put together. For me, it is flip of a coin. I don't know where I'm going. I'm fascinated to watch tomorrow night. But I also think Jack McVay's a little bit lucky. Like the little I'm going to accidentally pretend to fall on you and injure you on the ground thing wasn't good. You and I have both done similar and seen similar. That's not an accident. That's a cheap shot. And Jack McVay might consider himself very, very lucky to be playing in this game.
I think it was a finable offense. I don't think it was a suspension.
Or in the playoffs. I agree, but it was more to it than most people thought.
Hey, Chris, shock news. Brian Gorgon signs with Sydney.
Wow, how long have we been saying this for? How did people not know this?
Honestly, I think this is because you listen to all the other media outlets and people were like, well, there's a good chance you might go to Adelaide.
He was never going to Adelaide. He was never going to the Phoenix. He was going to Sydney or Asia.
Yeah, and Sydney to me just made the most sense. Obviously, I was coached by Gorge in Sydney. I know he loves Sydney, loves Sydney. And plus now you've got an ownership group that's willing to spend money and has the capability of bringing in great talent. Mate, put your house on Sydney that they're going to be in the grand final next year. I'll say that right now.
So the ownership group with what they've got can recruit talent. Gorge can recruit youth. And any Gorge, agent wants to send...
And Gorge can coach both talent and youth at the same time.
And that's why they can recruit it. So they're going to have this incredible blend, I think, of import talent and Australian youth. And he's already on record as saying they're going to go and get a big name. And Gorge's black book, his... a dictionary. It's not a little one like most players. It's global. So I'm excited to see what they do, and yeah, lock it in. They'll finish. Let's go top four, maybe not top two yet, but they'll. She's going to be hard to beat.
Obviously, Abdul Fattah, he just struggled. And I feel part of me, if I look at it through the lens of it's always going to be difficult when you're the new coach of a team that's just won two in a row and you lose your starters. It was always going to be a bit of an uphill battle, and maybe we gave Sydney too much credit on what we thought they could achieve. But the reality is with an untried coach, basically a new roster, and I don't like saying it, but I just thought he was a shit coach, to tell you the truth. Like, his in-game adjustments were really bad, or lack of in-game adjustments.
It seemed to be old school, didn't it? Hey, what we're doing, just do it the same but better.
Well, the only game plan that I think that they had was let's kick it up the floor and someone get on the rim. Yeah. And if teams were putting the ball through the hoop, which they were doing all year long versus them, it's really hard to score in transition when you're getting the ball out of the basket. I know that. And he just struggled.
The body language of the group, they you could just tell they weren't buying in by the end. But let's go the other way. I'm excited that, you know, it's funny that it's an interesting one with Illawarra. Jason Tatum. What's his name? Jason Tatum.
Yes.
What's his – yeah.
Justin Tatum.
Has done a great job with the Hawks, and it was a surprise decision and he had no experience. But I love that the Hawks have backed him in and he's proving that he has the respect, and we spoke about this, so let's not back up over it. But I'm actually going to be barracking for Scott Ninnis next year as well. I think it's great that a coach gets a second chance. I think it's great that they've gone back to someone who's ingrained in the local community, and I think they've gone back to someone who it's not the resume and the presentation in the boardroom that they're hiring him on, it's him as a human, which I think needs to be more important. But, you know, there are so many coaches who can put this PowerPoint presentation together and prove why they're a good coach and then have no idea how to deliver it to a group of professional athletes. I hope Scott Ninnis does well. I know that Justin Tatum's going to continue to do well. Moving forward. Hey, before we get off the NBL.
We do have to talk about Alan Williams, just briefly.
You go Alan Williams and I'll go my one. Go on.
Well, Alan Williams and the Phoenix have mutually parted ways today as we speak.
That's the best mutual parting of ways the Phoenix have made so far, and I think there should be more.
I agree with you. And, I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to understand that Chris and I aren't his biggest fans because of, I think he seems like he comes across as a great fella. He is very articulate in the way that he talks. He's solid enough of an import on the offensive end, but the liability that he is defensively creates a huge void for any team that he would play on to try and cover his ass on defense.
I disagree with the offensive end. He can score.
I said he's solid enough. I didn't say he was a fantastic offensive player. I said he's solid.
He's a horrible passer from in the paint. He makes poor choices when all he sees is a rim. That change of whoever they bring in, and I would imagine they've got their eyes on a couple of big names, whoever they bring in will make them better.
I reckon if they would have stayed with Tyler Cook, that would have been a good start.
You never know. Hey, the one for me was... And I'm a little bit uncomfortable bringing this one up, but I coached Josh Bannon as an under 20. He was in the same group as Josh Giddey and a few of them, and we had him. The news that came out that he's declared for the NBA draft. Like I said, I think he's a great kid. He's been really serviceable. That's like me declaring I'm available to ride in the Melbourne Cup. I don't understand why people feel a need to declare. Like, you need good advice around you. You need to go and find a summer league, or you need to find a vet camp, or you need to find something. what's the point of declaring for something you're never going to be picked in? I don't understand the logic behind it. I don't know who represents him, but that's a poor decision. It's setting him up for failure. Just worry about getting better and placing him in the right situation. He's going to be a very, very – he's going to be a really good pro. He's one of those pros guys, you know. But I just found myself thinking, why, mate? Why? What have you done?
I'll go on record for saying I really hope he makes the NBA now and see you on a fucking Clydesdale horse come Melbourne Cup Day, because that would be amazing.
You know what? I hope he does too. But there's other ways to get there than go and earn. You're not going to get drafted. Whoever's giving him advice, we all know the draft board. He's not on it. He's not even like he's not close. And I don't mean that in any dip, but. He's been in the league a year and a bit. He's been injured. He's not an athlete. He's a serviceable NBL European player who might find a summer league or two. But I hope he makes it too. I hope he wins an NBL championship sometime and then picks up a game. He's not Xavier Cooks. Xavier Cooks couldn't stick in the NBA. You know, that's the most valuable player in our league. Like, there needs to be, a little bit too much with him.
We'll move over to the NBA, and unfortunately, Patty Mills got cut by the Atlanta Hawks. Fortunately enough, he now becomes a zombie Patty. Shout out to our mate Stavey. But Patty Mills finds himself to the Miami Heat, and culture, Patty, the two words that go hand in hand. And so it'll be interesting to see if he gets court time in Miami, but I just get a feeling he's just going to enjoy his time in Miami.
I agree. And I was quoted in a News Limited paper as saying the day after Chris Anstey said that Patty Mills should go to Europe, he signs for the Miami Heat. And so this idiot, his name's Tyson Otto. So I called the guys I like at News Limited and said, give me Tyson Otto's number, and no one would give me his number. And so what I said, and go and look at my Twitter, and we spoke about this, is that it would be a consideration for Patty and his team to that if he wants to play minutes, a high-level European team to prepare for the Olympics would be a great choice. Mm-hmm. No one's saying he shouldn't play in the NBA, but it's got to be added to his list of considerations. How that got misinterpreted to saying that I said he should go to Europe to prepare, that's why, guys, I'm going to read his name again. I've got it here. Tyson Otto shouldn't be given a keyboard and should at least have an idea of what people say before they print it in a major news publication. So, Tyson Otto, you're an idiot. Learn your job and learn your craft. Patty Mills, good on you, mate. However you prepare for the Olympic Games, we're going to be behind you. It's an interesting choice. I don't see him playing many minutes. And I don't see him playing many minutes on any team other than the San Antonio Spurs, if they happen to have been an option, as a bit of a legacy piece. They don't care about winning and losing. Let's revisit that. If he was to stay in the NBA, I would have loved to have seen him back at the Spurs with Greg Popovich and Brett Brown and Matt Nielsen. I think they would have really helped him prepare. I don't think the Miami Heat's priority is to make sure Patty Mills is ready for the Olympic Games. Clearly, I hope it's that funny he that I know you, that he'll do it. Go ahead.
It's funny. I was when I first saw that he got cut, my initial thought was, I hope he goes back to San Antonio. That was my very, very first thought post him getting cut.
And then I thought Europe.
Yep. Well, yes.
But I mean, it's I don't know. It's if we can back up over it, but we're going to have a lot of guys playing in Paris that haven't got many game minutes under their belt in the last 12 months. It's going to be. I'm very, very hopeful I'll be proven wrong, but I think the challenge for us is to make the quarterfinals, not the semifinals right now. That's where we're tiny and we haven't played many minutes in the last 12 months.
Yeah, well, I think, once again, we've said it before, this is Josh Giddey's team, and I think we have a lot of serviceable people, whether it be Josh Green, Dyson Daniels, that I think have stepped up this season and made us will be different to what we've seen from them previously. However, we still need Paddy. We still need Joe. We need these guys to still be able to give us that spark, and it's really hard to do that with no playing time under their belt.
And that's the thing. I love the way you described it months and months ago, where we don't have a number one guy in their current role in any team. And you look at the team that United States are going to send: Curry, Durant, LeBron, Tatum, Embiid, Booker, keep going. They are $1-2 favorites. Nikola Jokic goes across. Luka Doncic, if they actually, Slovenia might know. All of the NBA stars are playing. There are so many teams we're going to come across that if there's a minute and a half to go in the game, you say, okay, well, they're going to give the ball to our star and they're going to win it or lose it. We don't have that guy right now. We don't have the guy where you put the ball in their hands and say, go win us a game. Patty Mills did it for us in Tokyo. We put the ball in his – we took him off the ball and put the ball in his hands and said, go. This is your. But since then, he hasn't played much, and Joe hasn't played much, and the other guys, like you say, have done really well. But they're all role players. We need a guy whose role is to be the man, and that's what we're missing right now.
I agree with you. The only other noteworthy thing, I believe, is that Jack Vaughn has now been fired. I mean,
Jesus. Kevin Ollie's my old teammate, do you know that?
I knew you've played a game against Michael Jordan. I've heard that once or a billion times.
Kevin Ollie was at the Mavs when we were there my first year. So
You happy with this?
I haven't spoken a word to him since, but yeah, sure, why not? Clearly that's not a long-term home, but who knows what the Nets are doing.
I'd like to point out that the Milwaukee Bucks have won a couple of games recently, and I still will hold strong that they will do nothing in the finals because of their head coach.
Well, let's back up over this while we've got a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't have my list. Here we go. So we made some predictions right at the start of this season. So let's cross them off, tick them, or let's give them a grade.
Okay.
So we said Joel Embiid's going to go to the Knicks. That's clearly an F. That's not going to happen. The Orlando Magic are going to make the playoffs. I think we give that one an A.
That's an A for sure.
Yeah. Your tip was the Memphis Grizzlies miss the play-in, not even make the play-in. I think that's an A.
Yep.
I think you got that one right.
We're there.
Jordan Canada wins at WNBL MVP. We made that in week two. That's got to be an A. The one we've crossed off before is Jalen Duran is not the most improved player. We got him at 50-1, but not quite going to get there.
That was week one.
Hey, he's been really good, and he's been injured a lot.
Yeah.
So I still like the bet, and that was an injury thing.
Is that a D plus or a D minus?
No, C. I mean, it was a
C.
Yeah. Right. But here's the other one. Let's back over this one. We've got two teams. This one was yours. Minnesota, a good regular season. They're going to be no good when the playoffs arrive. They're going to finish top two or three in the West. Give me your Minnesota prediction. Are you sticking by that? How have you seen them?
Their defense is a lot better than what I thought it would be. And I've probably changed. I still think all roads run through Denver at the end of the day. And the way that they go about it. But can I see a Minnesota-Denver Western Conference final? Yeah, I can. I definitely can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Obviously, we know that the West is absolutely loaded with talent, but the one thing with all this talent is you've got to have good team defense, and that's what Minnesota does have. So I thought it might have been one of those ones where they were just good enough, but I think where they have their downfall is – Anthony Edwards is a very good player, but he ain't that guy yet. He has a chance to be that guy, but he's not that guy yet. When you compare Jokic and a Murray on the other side of the ball, they can both be that guy.
I tend to think they could go into a seven-game series with up to six or seven other teams in the West and not have the best player on the court. And, yep, and that concerns me about a high seed. So we'll watch this space for that one. The last one, and I've had a little bit of info, but I want to get your information first. You said the Dallas Mavericks are fool's gold.
Well, I think we have to wait till finals for that one. They're a very high-scoring team. They're a high-octane team. But if you look at the way, outside of Luka being a very big point guard, they're not very big around the rest of the court. And I still believe that length across the board, hence why I like the Denver Nuggets, hence why I like the Boston Celtics, is that they've got athletes across the board that are just long, lean athletes, and Dallas don't have that.
I've got it on from a number of people that it's going to take the Mavericks getting to the Western Conference Finals for Jason Kidd to keep his job. All of their players are locked in a long-term deal. This is the roster they're moving forward with. They can't change the roster outside of trade. And they can't defend worth a shit.
Well, that being said.
And that's – no, I agree with it. But this, the jungle drums are beating in Dallas right now for Jason Kidd. They've seen this before, and the way the Dallas Mavericks play, you could roll the ball out on the court without a coach or a support staff and say go, and you'd probably get the same result. You need, and the rumor is Budenheiser next year at the Mavericks, which would be with a defensive mindset. The offense will take care of itself. Let's lock in on the defense.
Can I say that I did like what they did at the trade deadline, getting Daniel Gafford over from Washington, getting PJ Washington in. I think they are two serviceable pieces that they needed.
I agree, but they're going to coach them.
Yep.
Jason Kidd's coaching history isn't much better than Doc Rivers when you dig back.
No.
Milwaukee, the Brooklyn, it hasn't been good. It's a similar kind of conversation. So that's definitely a watchy space from a lot of Texans over there at the moment.
Chris, how do you feel about doing a has-been six-pack?
I like the idea of a six-pack.
Well, it's not the six-pack that you want, but I'm going to give you a six-pack of questions, and I want you...
Well, let's do this. Can we make it a Hotel Trentham six-pack?
We can make this, brought to you by the great Hotel Trentham. Oh, if you're great in Trentham, visit Hotel Trentham. Chris...
I get the pub.
Just six quick hitting questions. Give me your statements, opinions on it. Number one, Chris Golding, back against the wall comment was ridiculous. Is the United Championship to lose?
Way to get me thinking. Yeah. I don't know how United's backs are against the wall. They're front runners. Everyone's looking at their back. We're recording this after they won game one, but it's one thing saying something publicly. It's another thing taking the public for fools. Come out and say your favourite and you expect to win and put that on your back, I think. But, yes.
I agree.
Okay, good. I'm going to ask you. Yeah, good.
I think we've already told the story once when Gorgon went with the underdog role versus you guys, and we were on top of the ladder the entire season. And I think that can lead to a negative mindset at times if you think that you're the underdog, yet you've been the best team all year, and United have been the best team all year. Question number two: Denver are still the favourites in the West, and I'll add to this, in the competition.
Yeah, they are. And what we've seen from them since the All-Star break, and they're the anti-Melbourne United. They've come out and declared they're going to finish top of the West. And they're a game off the top as we record this. So, yeah, I just still think Jamal Murray is grossly underrated. The fact that he's never been an All-Star astounds me. him and Nikola Jokic with the crew they've got. They know their roles. They know who they're going to. Yeah, I think they finish on top of the West. I think they get home court advantage through the Western Conference playoffs. And until I see Boston, Boston have been incredible this series. This season. But again, if you gave me money to put on a bet right now and said, who are you tipping? I'm tipping Denver. You get something different?
I tend to agree with everything that you just said there. I just cannot trust Brown's left hand when it comes to the finals. Number three, NBL needs to bring the actual Rookie of the Year trophy back, not the next gen.
Yes, that next gen, no. Yes. I have a feeling you're going to agree with this one as well, but it's a Rookie of the Year. If you're not good enough to play as a rookie, then you don't win the award. And you give it to the guy who played 19 minutes and averaged 7-4. It's a rookie's responsibility to have an impact. It's not the league's responsibility to dilute the award and give it to players who've been in the league for 4 years. Did Sam Froehlich win it this year?
He did.
How many years has he played in the league? Four?
Four or five now, yeah.
Stupid. What sort of fucking award's that? ask him. Would he rather be contending for an MVP award or a six-man of the year or whatever it is? Rookie of the Year, it's your first professional season. Whether you're an import, whether you're a rookie, if you've never played a professional season, you're eligible.
I think you said it all when you said it. Number four. The WNBL make it really hard to continually be positive about spell players' names wrong when they're called up to win the award and have players do fashion walks on stage at MVP nights in a cheap room.
Good. I love how these questions back up to things we've been talking about. The WNBL make it, they do. They make it so hard. I actually watched the live stream of their awards night. And award winners in their all WNBL teams' names were spelt wrong on the big screen as they accepted their awards. If you want equality and you want to be taken seriously, don't ask your players to do a twirl and a catwalk walk on the stage when they come up to accept an award. It's belittling, it's cringeworthy, it's embarrassing. Treat them as fucking professional athletes that they deserve to be treated as. Put them in the type of room that they deserve to be put in for an award of this significance, and get people who drive the night to actually care about it enough to spell the players' names right and show a level of respect to your best asset that you have as Basketball Australia, and do the right thing. So, yeah, that was... We try so hard to support the WNBL, but what we find out, we support the players, we don't support the WNBL, and it's a really interesting place to be.
Mm-hmm. Number five, the highest drafted Aussie will be?
Poor. Highest drafted, Tyrese Proctor.
And I'll go with, Georgia Amor.
You're well done. Yes, absolutely, she will be. Yeah, well done. Well played. Yep, good job.
Thank you. Number six, it's disrespectful to shoot in the final seconds of an NBA game.
No. This whole thing, we talked about this weeks ago when
Chris, can I answer this one?
Yes.
Because I reckon I can almost say word for word verbatim what you're about to say.
Go on.
It is disrespectful to not play hard in every moment in the lead up to that moment of someone shooting the ball in the final seconds of a game. It has nothing to do with respect or showing people up. If you are worried about the way that you looked or the disrespect that you feel, then maybe Sit down in a stance, slide, slide your feet, have some pride in your defense, and not worry about someone shooting the ball in the last couple seconds of the game. It's an absolute joke that has plagued not only the NBA, but has crept into other leagues. I'm glad that the NBL has moved away from that and play out to the final siren, because it's also disrespectful to the young guys that get on the court for maybe 30 seconds or a minute at the end of the game. You want them to get a shot up and feel like they're not doing something wrong, because they train their ass off as well. So to anyone in the American system that finds it disrespectful, to any coach that thinks that it's disrespectful, pull your head out of your ass, because it is disrespectful the way that you treat the game in the moments leading up to that moment.
You're right. I couldn't have said that better. Hey, before we go, big news for us, and I know the other owners will get a little bit grumpy here, and we've finally finalised our roster for the Taranaki Airs. So the NZNBL season starts in about 3 weeks. Sammy McKinnon jumps on a plane tomorrow as we record this to get his feet on the ground in New Plymouth for the first time, get his eyes on all players. But we've got a full roster, so as much as some people listening will care a lot and others will go, well, I don't really want to follow the NZNBL, it's actually really exciting to finally have a roster together where you think, okay, this is us. This is what we're going to go to work with in 3 weeks' time. And for those of you who haven't been paying attention, and I'm not going to put words in Sam McKinnon's mouth, but we think we'll probably end up starting with a lineup of Flynn Cameron at Melbourne United, Mitch McCarron, who's already in New Zealand from Adelaide, Carlin Davison, who's a development player for the New Zealand Breakers, Sam Froling, who we've spoken about this podcast already. We just signed our first American import, Elijah Minnie. So 6'8" athlete. He's travelled around a little bit, but we think he'll be a really good fit for the guys we've got. Then coming off the bench, a young local point guard, Xavier Adam, who was actually the son of our previous head coach. So we're looking forward to seeing who were we speaking about before, where you get out of a system and you go and blossom a little bit and you hear a different voice. We hope that might be him. Darone Rakawa, Tobias Cameron, so Flynn's brother's with us as well. I better not announce that last one as our backup four, but then Quinton Bailey, who... You look at people when you walk into a town and you think that's the guy, that's the one who's local, that's the one who works in the community. Yeah, you always want that glue guy, the really solid player, the really good athlete, works hard. We've put him in a house with three of our other players and lives on a farm for 4 or 5 months a year and then comes into town and plays. And I'd love if you listen to this podcast and you want to follow it, when we get to our first game, we get two road games to start the season, and yeah, we're going to be missing either Sam Froling or Flynn Cameron in that first game, because one of those two is going to go through to the championship series. But we'll do some watch parties, we'll jump online, we'll chat, but love to generate support here in Australia. Just whether you're a mate, whether you listen to this podcast, watch the game, we'll stream it, they're all streamed live here on YouTube, we'll talk about it, and we'll give some support to a team that we're really, really proud of what we've been able to do and the team we've been able to put on the floor.
Mate, I'm looking forward to waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning to watch them in WA time. Anyway, Chris, that has been that's a solid episode again, mate, and I'm looking forward to watching the Airs this season. I must admit, I haven't had it much care for the New Zealand NBL season until you had got on board with the Airs, and obviously know the coaching staff as well. Really looking forward to the year ahead for you guys. But, mate, yep, go ahead, Chris.
I've got one more thing. I'm just going to leave it here and we're going to refer to it later. As we finish, we started with the WNBL. Let's finish it. The Melbourne Boomers will be playing in Geelong next year and rebranded to the Geelong Boomers. Take that as fact. The Melbourne Boomers won't be in Melbourne next year. They've been bought and they'll be moving to Geelong next year, and Geelong will finally have another professional basketball team.
Can we call them the Geelong Boomer Cats?
Nope.
I try.
I just wanted to put that one on the record for now, and we'll talk about that more once the WNBL season's done.
I like our sneaky gems that we just drop into podcasts that come to fruition later.
You got to listen to the whole thing to get them. That's the plan.
Once again, right, thanks everyone for listening. Thanks, Chris, and we'll chat to you all later.